Are you a big brain of the beautiful game? Prove it with the great new app that'll test your football knowledge to the limit. Name That Player. Download the Name That Player app today and race against the clock to identify the Premier League players purely from a list of the clubs they've played for. Put your football knowledge to the ultimate test with the Name That Player app. Available right now for iOS and Android from the App Store and Google Play. Name That Player. Can you beat the best?
Shoot the defence, the best podcast in the world. We're at it.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you've played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we had now taken our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, and send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence. This is my top five matches. I'm your host, Stel, and I'm joined once again by Rodri Giggs. How are you doing, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah, still just recovering from a close defeat as last night.
Ah, yes. It was only by a point, but, you know, you live to fight another day. We'll do it again, this quiz.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Good. Because when I did the first couple of questions, you guys were umming and ahhing and sighing, and I thought, here we go.
did quite well in that first round though. But yeah, I'm good, mate.
Excellent, wonderful. Right, we have a special guest this evening. He's making his Shoot the Defence debut. Former Man United and Cambridge winger Luke Chadwick. Luke, welcome to the show, mate. How is one?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure having you on. And how are you coping at the moment? Because I know obviously you're doing some bits with the Football Fun Factory and it's a tricky time for everyone. You're not able to do your coaching, but are you coping well?
Yeah, obviously it's a tough time for everyone, really. I think obviously the business is on works, at least if everyone worries at the minute, but it's a nice little time to spend a bit more time with my wife and children. So trying to look on the positives of it all, really.
No, I can understand. And I've seen some of your clips, how you're keeping yourself occupied in the back garden with your inflatable goal. Is that something that is part of Football Fun Camps?
Yeah, that's a big part of our sort of company. We use that in the school holidays. The kids can have a dive around on that. So I'm lucky enough to be having a go myself at this. We've had a bit of sun the last few days, so enjoying what we've got at home at the minute.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, this is my top five matches, and you've provided us with a list of them. And we'll begin at Elland Road, a 1-1 draw between Man United and Leeds United, a derby which I miss as a United fan. Two very, very good teams. I believe Leeds, I'm not sure if they got to the Champions League semi-final that season. Correct me if I'm wrong, they may have done. I think they did actually, with Rio Ferdinand at the back. But yeah, so what is your best memory of this one, as if I didn't know, because I know what happened in it. So
yeah, I think obviously the best memory of it is scoring a goal, and obviously scoring for Man United against one of their fiercest rivals at Elland Road. It was a really happy memory for me. I think I didn't start the game. I come on at half time because I think Nicky Butt got injured towards the end of the first half, so the manager said I was going on at half time, and I was a little bit nervous to say the least, but to score a goal in that game was something special.
So tell me something, when you made your debut for United back in 2000, it was against Middlesbrough, wasn't it? I remember this one because we won the game 2-1, Christian Caramble gave them the lead, but that was the first game since the whole prawn sandwich comment from Roy Keane, and Old Trafford was rocking that day. So you've obviously signed pro forms with United, you've gone through the youth academy. So in preparation to this game against Leeds United, which, as I said before, massive, massive game, hostile crowd is Elland Road. What was the going through your mind when you got the call that you were going to be playing?
I think I went to the game as a substitute, and obviously when I did come on in the days I was at United, it was probably usually around the sort of 75-minute mark to sort of stretch the defences late on. But in this particular game, an injury to one of the players forced me to come on at half-time. So it felt obviously hugely exciting to come on in such a big game. But at the same time, obviously, the nerves kicked in and it was a real hostile environment at Elland Road. And playing on the wing, you certainly hear the full brunt of what the crowd think of you there, that's for sure.
Who were you up against? Was it Ian Hart you were up against, or was it Danny Mills?
Danny Mills I was playing against. So he was obviously a fullback that didn't take any prisoners, but I think I had a bit of joy against him on the day, and obviously to score a goal was fantastic.
Well, that United side was absolutely fantastic. We look across it, you know, from front to back, even the substitutes, the people that are on the bench, May, York, Greening, yourself, even Richubica was a decent goalkeeper. But on the pitch, Fabian Barthez, a lot of people got on his back for some high profile mistakes, but he also saved United a lot of points as well during his time at the club, didn't he?
Yeah, I think in his early days he was like the best keeper by a mile in the league. He was brilliant, he'd make saves, and obviously he always took a risk with the ball at his feet. But I think in that, the first sort of season, he was far and away the best keeper in the league. I think after that he sort of had a few problems and made a few high profile mistakes like you allude to there, and it sort of maybe made him lose a bit of confidence in what he was doing. But in his early days at United, particularly in that season where I played a lot, he was incredible. Some of the saves he made, and obviously not the biggest as a goalkeeper, but he made that up with that with an incredible personality.
That's right. And Rod, tell me something. Why do you think it went downhill for Fabian Barthez? I don't think it was a combination of the mistakes that kind of made Fergie decide that was it for him. Do you think something went off the field for him? Kind of his head dropped and all that?
Well, I'm not sure. He was a bit of a maverick, wasn't he? He used to like a fag outside the changing room. That was different. So, but yeah, he was, you know, if you look at the look at them Ronaldo goals. Remember Ronaldo scored their hat trick at Old Trafford?
Yes.
You know, goals like that Peter Schmeichel, Van der Sar, you know, the keepers we've had in the past, even Mark Bosnich would save with their eyes closed. So, you know, even though he's a World Cup winner and he was a good keeper and he was a good distributor of the ball, you know, he wasn't reliable, was he? And if you're going to, you know, from the keepers he's had in the past, you have to have a reliable keeper. Well, I suppose you know you'd had Schmeichel as a reliable, but you have to have a reliable keeper because, you know, ultimately these keepers, they win you points, and he was losing his points, so ultimately you have to change.
I'll never forget that save he made from Didi Hamann in the game where we beat Liverpool 2-1 when Forlan scored twice. We're 2-1 up, and Hamann's hit from 25-30 yards, and he's flung his body across and he's turned it over the bar with his right hand. It was an absolutely immense save, and not many people talk about that.
No, like I say, he was, you know, he's a World Cup winner. He was still a good keeper, but you know, in the Premier League, the size of him as well, he wasn't the biggest. He wasn't much bigger than me. So 5'9", 5'8". So he wasn't massive, and you know, in the Premier League, you can get kind of bullied. But he did pull some world-class saves off, and he was, like I say, a good distributor of the ball. You'd have a good left peg on him.
Brilliant. Luke, sorry to bang on about United so much, mate, but this squad was absolutely fantastic. You had the likes of Jaap Stam, who I still think Fergie let go too soon. That's my opinion, obviously. But then you had Beckham, and then Varon joined the following season. Now, Varon, I'm not afraid to admit it, he's one of my favourite players ever. What was it like having him in the squad, mate?
Yeah, when he came in, obviously, with a huge reputation, but he never really got going at United, I don't think. Probably never had the career that everyone thought he would when he came in, but to train with a man and to sort of play a few minutes with him here and there, what I did, he was like an absolute genius. I think maybe he always wanted to play the game at his own pace, which was probably a little bit easier for him to do when he was at Lazio in Italy. In England, with everything going on around him so fast, I think he got caught up a little time in that. And with the way that Man United wanted to play with a 4-4-2, maybe he didn't didn't play to his strengths all the time. That's probably why he didn't hit the heights that I think maybe everyone expected of him at Old Trafford.
Mm. And just a final question from me when it comes to United. Beckham, Scholes and Varane, three players that, you know, that their passing was absolutely pinpoint. If you had to choose one of the three, which one would you choose in terms of a range of passing?
I think it'd have to be Scholes. Yeah. I think he was probably everyone would say this that ever trained or played with him. He was just an absolute genius, really. How clever he was. He had like eyes in the back of his head. He's so intelligent, knew every run that was happening, always chose the right option. And despite, obviously, it ain't an easy call with the three players you've given me there, but I think I'd have to say Scholesy all day.
Okay. Rod, do you agree with that one?
I do, but you know, if you asked me this in 1993, 1994, you know, Paul Scholes was a number 10, a goal scoring midfielder, and then the player he was, how he can just adjust his game. But yeah, probably Paul Scholes, but Beckham a very close second.
Yeah, the thing is, you said about Scholes being a number 10, right, attacking midfielder, kind of playing in the hole. He made his debut against Port Vale again. I remember that was a League Cup game, and when you think about how he, as you said, he changed his position, changed the way that he played. Was he that kind of player, Rod, where he would, you know, spray passes 20, 30 yards square or diagonal balls and whatnot? Because when he was in the middle of the park, even Thierry Henry said, you don't give him time on the ball because he'll kill you.
No, because it would be in the wrong areas to do that, because he'd always been the last third. He wasn't, like a quarterback that he turned into. So, no, he didn't really see that. He just dwarfed into that and just mastered it.
Okay, brilliant. Right, next game. We will go to Carroll Road, the League Cup game in 2011. It was Norwich 0, Milton Keynes Dons 4. Luke, you grabbed a brace in this one. And I think you had the likes of Sam Baldock in that team and Dean Lewington, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, that would have been around that time. Obviously, Dean Lewington's still there to this day. He's played an incredible amount of games for the club. But I think that game was special for me. Like you say, I scored two goals there and I had played for Norwich for a period of time and had a real bad time there in terms of never got injured in my first game and was out for 8-9 months and never really got myself fit and never really done myself justice at the club. So obviously to go back to a former club and score a couple of goals while they were a Premier League team at the time, it was a massive shock to go and do that, albeit in a League Cup game. And obviously great to score a couple of goals as well.
What was it like playing for a club like NK Dons? Because, no disrespect, they were a fairly new club in comparison to others. There was obviously the back and forth with Wimbledon, the Wimbledon fans and all the politics that surrounded it. From what I've been told by people who've played for the club, it was a very nice place to play. The chairman always paid everyone on time. There was never any issues in the background. So what was it like for you going from Manchester United via Norwich to these guys?
Yeah, so obviously it was a long time after I'd left Man United. I sort of played down in the lower levels. And I really loved my time at MK Dons. Like you say, it was a new club. It was a lovely place to go and play football. The stadium was probably a little bit too big for them. But in terms of somewhere to go every day, somewhere to go and work, it was a nice fit for me. It was not far from my house where I'm from in Cambridge, like a 45-minute drive to work. So I was just really settled at MK Dons and really did enjoy my time there.
You mentioned the injuries that you got at Norwich City. Do you think that was the beginning of a long-term problem for you?
I think I suffered from injuries throughout my career, really. Right. But most players would say that they've suffered from injuries. I wouldn't use it as an excuse of why I probably didn't hit the heights of what I did starting at a club like Man United. But it's tough at the time being injured, but at the same time, it gives you an opportunity to become a better and a stronger person from dealing with it all.
That's understandable. And having come from Man United's youth academy and being in digs, I presume, and moving to these clubs, which obviously are much, much smaller than United, was it easier to settle because the weight of expectancy was perhaps a little less than what it was at United? Or is because you came from United, people thought that, wow, this guy's going to be the real deal here?
Yeah, I think obviously people expect a lot from you because you started off at Man United and played a few games there. At the same time, I think the lessons that you learn as a young player coming through at Man United and the standards that are expected of you hold you in good stead for the rest of your career, really, because if you can put that hard work into practice at these other clubs where obviously the standards aren't as high, it helps you sort of go on, and what you've learned at Manchester United probably gives a lot of players like me who didn't reach the top there an opportunity to have a career in football.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, next game. Cambridge 3, Southport 1 in the National League. Now, I believe this moved you into the playoff places, is that right?
Yeah, we was already in the playoffs. The reason that is such a memorable game for me is because I was a massive Cambridge United fan as a child, grew up really obsessed with the club, loving them, going to all the games. So it was always a dream of mine to play for them. So towards the end of my career, I'd done that, and that was my first goal, and I scored up the Newmarket Road end where I used to stand as a kid watching the game and singing all the songs. So that's why that game meant so much to me.
Okay, so tell us about this actual game itself, because you got on the score sheet. I know it was 1-0 at the time. In fact, you guys were a goal down, and Berry scored from the spot, and then you made it 2-1 in the second half. So what was the half-time team talk with Richard Money like?
Yeah, it was always quite explosive with Rich, particularly if we were getting beat. So we sort of got told, obviously, we were fighting out towards the top of the league. We had the playoffs to look forward to if we carried on winning. So we came out. I couldn't say it was a brilliant performance from us, but we ground out a win. And like I said, obviously, to score my first goal at the Newmarket Road end was like a dream come true. Probably the most emotional I've ever felt on a football pitch, sort of with the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. So it was a wonderful feeling.
Mm. So being a Cambridge United fan from day dot, would it be fair to say that Dion Dublin was perhaps the most famous player to come from the club?
Yeah, he would be the one who came through, obviously went to Man United, and albeit for a terrible injury, in my opinion, would have had a brilliant career there. Although saying that, he still had an absolutely brilliant career in the game.
Yeah, because he got that injury, as you said, then had it not been for that injury, United wouldn't have got Eric. And then we don't know what would have happened. Perhaps Dean Saunders would have got his hands on the Premier League title. What a big run.
Yeah, you never know. Well, perhaps Eric would have come in as well. That wouldn't have been a bad partnership with Dion Eric up top.
That's right. Okay, next game. Cambridge United related against Gateshead, Gazza's hometown, I guess, isn't it? A 2-1 win at Wembley, returning to the Football League for the first time in 9 years. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so obviously that, again, as I've sent over to you, the three of the games I picked were Cambridge games, which is probably quite surprising. But to get being the squad that got back to the Football League was like a massive thing for the club. Obviously, financially, the club was struggling in the lower leagues, and it just meant so much to the club. We played in the final against Gateshead. We were 2-1 up and really hanging on. We'd used all our subs. Our captain had snapped his Achilles and went off for the last 10 minutes with 10. So we were down to 10 men and just really holding on. And the relief at the end of that game was huge, really. And to be back in the Football League meant everything to everyone connected with the football club.
A trip to Wembley as well. Not many footballers can say that.
No, it was incredible. I would have preferred to play there when I was a bit younger, because once you get on that pitch, it seems to be a lot bigger than what you think. And my old legs were sort of struggling to get about the pitch, really. But for any footballer to have played, albeit a conference playoff final, a game at Wembley is a game at Wembley, and to do it for your hometown club was special.
Mm. And was this the Gateshead side that had John Oster in as well?
Former Everton. John Oster played, very good player, John Oster, and he was pulling the strings for them, particularly when we went down to 10 men and they were sort of had all the possession of the ball and we were sat back on the edge of our box defending for our lives. But John Oster, yeah, he played and he's obviously a very talented player.
Yeah. He's another one that makes you wonder, like, what happened with him? Because, as you said, very talented. He had a decent support ever. And I think he was at Sunderland as well, if memory serves me correctly. But again, maybe he was unlucky with injuries. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, obviously, he had a decent enough career. I think he's from up that way and probably finished his career up, settled with his family up north. But he had a fair career in the game, John Oster.
Yeah, that's right. I think he spent a bit of time at Reading as well. I'm not sure. I'll have to double-check that one. But all right, the final game.
He did play. He did play for Reading. He did for Wales as well.
Played for Wales. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Everton. Everton. I'm pretty sure it was at Sunderland as well. Rod, when was he play for the Welsh national team? It was quite recent, wasn't it? Like, I'm not talking like 5 years ago. Probably 10, 15 years ago. No.
Oh yeah, it was round. I'd say 2005. Around that area.
Yeah. Because I think. Wasn't John Toshack in charge at the time?
Can't remember. Yes. When they had the old Kappa, the tight Kappa kits.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. See, you know more than I do in that respect, so excellent.
Yeah, he did play for Reading, he did play for Sunderland.
Barnet as well, there you go.
Barnet, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
But Sunderland, he was with Peter Reid when they had a good side, Mickey Gray and all, and like, yeah.
Oh yeah, with Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips.
Yeah, he got the back of that. Yeah, Kevin Phillips. Yeah.
There you go. So you're getting all nostalgic now. Brilliant. Right, final game. Now this one, I'm not surprised you've picked, Luke. Although I'm surprised you didn't go for the first game, not the replay. But yeah. Did you go for the replay or was it the first game? I can't remember.
It was a replay. Well, I was on the bench for the first game, so I chose a replay.
Yeah, so Man United 3, Cambridge United 0. The first game was 0-0. Second game, replay, was at Old Trafford. Louis van Gaal's final season, I think, at United. I think United went on to win the FA Cup that season. Pretty sure we did. Can't remember, to be fair. Was it 2015 we won it? I don't know. Did we win it in 2015? Well, was it 2016? I can't remember. No, it was the following season. Sorry, my fault.
Then sack the manager. That's not right. Not the finest moment. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So, to be fair, Luke, I mean, without sounding patronising, mate, but United's squad cost well over 230 million quid, whereas yours didn't cost a penny. But to be fair, you held your own for about, how long was it? 25 minutes, half an hour?
Yeah, I think we had a really good chance. Tom Elliott, right in the first minute or minutes of the game, is one on one with
De Gea.
Yeah, and he's sort of tried to put it too far in the corner, maybe, and hit the post. But like people say, imagine if that went in. But I still think even if that did go in, it would have been a big ask to hold on against them for the rest of the game. But like for the club, it meant everything in financially. I think we were better off holding on for a nil or draw rather than even nicking the game 1-0 at the Abbey in terms of what it meant for the club financially. And obviously to go up to Old Trafford, it was the first time I'd ever been back there to play since my days as a player at Man United. So it was a brilliant, brilliant experience.
I can imagine, mate. When you look at the players that were on show, you had Daley Blint, Wayne Rooney, Di Maria was there, Mata scored the first goal, Van Persie. Even Falcao was on the bench. So, again, it was a different quality United, wasn't it? It had more star-studded names than when you were at the club, but there was less cohesion, if that makes sense.
Yeah, without a doubt. There was some. Obviously, the game had changed a lot since the days where I was at United, but there's some incredible talent on the pitch that night. And to be on the same pitch as them and to be competing against them was great for the whole squad, really, because obviously the majority of the Cambridge squad had never been to play against a team like that, so it was great for everyone connected with the club.
Well, I remember there was a lot of press, a lot of people were interviewing you and talking about your time at United and obviously coming back as a Cambridge United player. What responsibilities did you have in the dressing room to talk to the players? Were you asked to guide them in some way? Obviously, it's a big pitch, big attendance. So did you have some kind of involvement in that respect?
Yeah, I think as a senior player in a squad, it's the same in most games. Obviously, I could give a little bit of advice about playing in front of big crowds at big stadiums, but it was more just the same as any other game where the elder players in the team would try and sort of guide the younger ones, and if they were wanting some advice, to give them some good advice and just work together to see how well we could do. Obviously, we got beat on the night, but again, it was a great night for the club.
Mm. And how did Man United treat you going back? Did you see any old familiar faces? Did they treat you well?
Yeah, and I think that's what the club is. It's a wonderful, wonderful organisation that always treats its not just the ex-players, everyone that goes up there, the whole squad was treated extremely well, and that's what you expect from Manchester United, because it is an amazing, amazing football club.
Fantastic. Brilliant. All right, mate. Well, look, one more thing before I let you go, or we let you go, shall I say, because Rod is here. I keep forgetting Rod's here. Sorry, mate.
I've been listening to it. It's been enjoyable.
I've just been dominating this thing with my questions. Sorry, mate. But yeah, if you can name an 11 players that you've played with, a best 11, would that be too difficult, or putting you too much on the spot?
Well, it'd probably be quite easy in terms of it would be more or less a whole 11 made out of Man United players that I was fortunate enough to play with while being at the club, I would imagine.
Oh, go ahead. What is?
So it'd be Schmeichel in goal, Gary Neville, Yap Stam, and Ronnie Johnson. And I'd have to go Dennis Irwin, Beckham, Scholes, Keane, Giggs, Sheringham, and I'll have to throw Dion Dublin in there.
Yes! Brilliant. Fantastic.
It's probably wise that he's got a sound headbutt, Dion.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Well, Luke, thank you ever so much for your time, mate. Rod, have you got anything else you want to ask Luke?
No, it was just, Luke was always one of them players, United players, he's always a squad player. I think he knew that, but he always, when he come on, he did his job, he always put defenders on the back foot, and he never let the manager down, so he was a good player for Man United. He was sometimes a joy to watch, because he was always positive, and always, like I say, put the defenders on the back foot. So yeah, it was a joy to watch. He played the Man United way, should I say.
Mm. Oh, thanks for that, Rod. I appreciate your kind words.
No, it's true, mate, it's true.
And you took one for the team against Liverpool, didn't you?
Yeah, I still claim to this day it weren't a red card. He was dragging me along with him.
Yeah, those were the days when we couldn't score a goal against them, let alone beat them. Christ, it was Danny Murphy, the consecutive season, wasn't it?
Yeah, the free kicks.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't want to end it on that note. So, Luke, before we let you go, have you got any social media or anything that you want to plug while you're here?
Just the company that I work with now, the Football Fun Factory, have a look at on Facebook, type in that, and there's loads of good stuff going on with that. So I'd appreciate any of your listeners to have a look at it and just see what they think.
Fantastic. TheFootballFunFactory.co.uk.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Rod, what is your social media? Sorry.
At Rod James Giggs.
Fantastic. Guys, you're still following us? Give us a follow on Twitter @ShootDefence. So until next time, take care.